We live in a noisy world. Okay, we're about 18 miles driving distance from the Magic Kingdom in Disney World. And that's maybe about 12 miles as a crow flies. But every night, about 9:15, we can hear the fireworks. I mean, it's not tremendously loud. It just kind of sounds like thunder off in the distance, I guess. About 3 miles from us, there's a small airport. They have a museum there. They have a lot of old planes and biplanes and planes from World War II and all. And some of these planes are really noisy when they go overhead. I mean, there's been times when we've been at the pool doing water aerobics and trying to listen to the audio telling us, you know, what to do, and one or two of these planes come flying over, and you can't hear anything. Now, our house is off a major road, but we can still hear the sirens and the motorcycles and the trucks. And not too far from us, just kind of right outside of our community, there's a bar that sometimes on Friday and Saturday nights and other nights, the music is really loud. I mean, I'm talking at, 11:30, midnight, where the music, you can hear that bass thumping away. When we were out to Oklahoma, to our sons out there, our son and daughter-in-law, our older grandson, and then our two younger grandchildren, each one of them in their room, they have a sound machine. And where Eli and Hadassah, where their rooms are, they're in separate rooms, right across from each other, bathroom in between. But they turn that sound machine up like full blast, and it's like the wind blowing. And, I told our daughter-in-law one time that I thought they were getting ready for tornado season. Trying to get their kids, attuned to the sound that they may be hearing. But, we use or hear the phrase, I can't hear myself think. And sometimes it feels that way. I know when I'm trying to concentrate on something, radio, TV, whatever, it needs to be off because I can't concentrate. I get too easily distracted. And not that they're even that loud, okay, if Diane is maybe in her sewing room working and she's got music on in there, it's not really all that loud, but man, I get easily distracted a lot. Well, let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that you are always speaking to us. And Lord, help us to always be listening and always ready to hear what it is that you have to say, because what you have to say is more important than anything else out there, more important than the news on the TV or the radio, more important than what my wife has to tell me or any of my kids or grandkids or anybody else, that you are top priority. And so, Father, help me to work hard and to listen and to hear what it is that you have to say to me. So Lord, let's see what your word has to say to us today as we get into the scripture and see what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was pastoring churches, sometimes I may be at the church office, which may be in the church or maybe in another separate building, and I would go then into the sanctuary, and there'd be somebody in there kneeling at the altar praying. And I go walking in like I own the place and going about my business, and somebody was there praying about, maybe I thought I knew what they were praying about, maybe something that they had discussed with me, and so I maybe thought, they're praying about this, but they may be praying about it in more depth than what they had shared with me. But why do we go to the church to pray? I mean, I would do it myself. I'd be there at different times and going through the sanctuary and stop and pray, or maybe intentionally go there for that reason. But do we feel closer to God when we're in the church and kneeling at the altar? Do we think that he can hear us better? Do we think that maybe we're one step closer and so our prayers might get answered quicker? Well, I think we do it for a combination of those reasons. You know, it's kind of like people thinking God answers the prayers of certain people quicker. Some people think that God listens to pastors' prayers before he listens to other people's prayers, you know, on more than one occasion. I've had people, you know, make comments to me about, you know, well, you got a direct line to the big guy, or something to that effect. You know, and no, God listens to the sincere prayers of all of his children the same. You know, I don't believe that there's angels up there sorting out, you know, well, oh, here comes a prayer from Reverend Smith, you know, let's get this one pushed up in priority here. You know, I don't think it works that way. That, you know, there's no prayers that are earmarked for God to listen to before others. I think most of us, when we pray, we want our answer, and we want it now. Okay, so Peter has some advice for us in his second letter. Peter is talking about the second coming, but I think this applies to the Lord in everything. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 from the New Living Translation says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." Now, sometime we'll look at that passage in context, but not today. But my point here is that God will answer our prayers in his time. Okay? God knows the perfect timing when we come to him and we ask him for whatever it might be. You know, we might think that we need that right now, today, in this situation, and God is thinking, you know, I'm going to give you that, but, you know, now isn't the right time. Next week is a better time. Next year is a better time. 10 years from now is a better time. But that's not what we want, okay? He's going to give us his answer in his time, and that's it. It's going to be his answer. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, maybe God has answered my prayer, and I just missed it because I was looking for something else. You know, I went to God praying that, you know, his answer would be ABC. And God, you know, looked at the situation and all, and he says, okay, I'm going to answer that, and your answer is JKL. And so I'm going around looking for ABC, and I'm not going to find it because, you know, yesterday or last month or 5 years ago, he gave me JKL as his answer to that prayer. And so I'm thinking, you know, God, why don't you answer my prayers? Well, the thing is, he did. Okay, I just didn't realize it. But let's head in the direction that I really want to go with this. Okay, let me give you the first part of a verse that is probably familiar to you. And that is, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. Okay, we see that on t-shirts, on mugs, you know, maybe a bunch of people that are listening to this, you've got one of those mugs. Okay, we see it on bumper stickers. But there's more to it than that. So before we latch on to the first third of that verse, let's look at the authors. It says the authors are the sons of Korah. Well, who is Korah, and why is he in the book of Psalms? Well, it tells us there were four different Korahs in the Old Testament. The most famous is the one that challenged Moses and died because of it. You find that in Numbers 16. But he had some descendants, and they became Korahites, of course. All right, had to be an Anite. And they were with David, and they became leaders of the choral and instrumental music at the temple. So that's why they wrote some songs that we find in the book of Psalms. Okay, just kind of goes, you know, hand and foot or whatever. So Psalm 46 is a song of celebration. Okay, Martin Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, comes from verses 7 and 11 of Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And that's what the psalm is telling us. But like a hymn, like the psalm speaks of power and might. Okay, a mighty fortress is our God. In verse 1, it talks about strength and help. Verses 2 and 3, it says, you know, we will not fear. Verse 5, God's city cannot be destroyed. Verse 6, it says, the nations are in chaos and kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, the earth melts. Verse 7, it says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here. The God of Israel is our fortress. In verse 8, it says, see how he brings destruction. In verse 9, he breaks the bow and snaps the spear and burns the shield with fire. And then you come to verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Well, where did that come from? I mean, it's talking about thundering voices and strength and, you know, crushed armies and everything. And then all of a sudden this, be still and know that I'm God. I think the point that God is making here is this. Get away from all the noise of the battle. Look at what I've done. Okay, in these preceding 9 verses, look at what I've done. Take the time and realize who I am. Okay, I'm not one to watch these old Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone movies where, you know, it's him against an army or him against, you know, 50 or 100 people, whatever it may be. You know, I mean, the movies, they're just so phony. But, you know, you'll see Sylvester, you know, he's running, you know, through this compound, let's say, and he's hiding behind these barrels, and, you know, all these people are shooting at him. You know, there's people that are up on the roof that are shooting at him. There's people, you know, that are almost behind him that are shooting at him. And, you know, he takes off running, and he goes, you know, and hides behind this post. You know, it's like a 6x6 post, and he's hiding behind it. And, you know, they're shooting, and they hit the post, you know, 100 times, but they never hit him. And, you know, then he runs to the next place, and, you know, he's killing all these people as he goes along, of course. You know, he's not just running from point A to B to C to D. You know, he's killing, you know, 10, 15 people, you know, at a time. And when he finally gets to where it is that he wants to go, you know, he's maybe worked up a sweat, but, you know, he doesn't have a scratch on him. You know, you would think that they would take the time to stop and say, wow, I just really survived something. You know, I mean, this is really amazing. You know, what, you know, how was I able to do that? But they don't. They just keep on shooting more people. But in Psalm 46, God is saying, look at these things that I've done. Okay, look at the power and the strength that I have, and just take the time to stop and look at what I've done and see the difference that's been made because of what I've done. So do you get what I mean? I mean, it's like you're in this horrific car accident. You know, I mean, you run into a semi, and then, you know, another car comes and runs into you, and then another truck, and, you know, your car is just totally in pieces. And you get yourself unbuckled, and they cut you out of the car, and, you know, you're fine. You have no injuries. Or maybe you have some deadly disease, you know, this rare disease that there's only, you know, a few cases in the world, and only 1% of people ever survive it, and that's you. If something like that happens to you, you should look back quietly and say, God was really with me in this. You know, I should have died in that car crash. You know, why was I that 1%, that 1 out of 100 that lived through this disease? Now, you probably wouldn't do that, you know, as you're in the ambulance on the way to the ER, or as you're just coming out of the operating room. But after a while, you see the victory and you realize what has happened. Now is the time to be still and know that He is God. Time to look back and say, wow, God did an awesome thing. Thank you, Lord, for letting me come through this. And I came through it only because of you. So now let's look at the rest of verse 10. Okay, like I said, that what we know, be still and know that I am God, is only the first part of that. Because it says, I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Now, the Hebrew word for honored is rum, which means to be exalted, lifted up, build up, to promote, to be lofty. And putting the whole of verse 10 together, in my words, it would go something like this. Get away from all the noise of the battle. Look at what I have done. Realize who I am. I will be lifted up by everyone and everything. There is no one who compares to me. That's verse 10 of chapter 46 of Psalms. Okay, so for us, sometimes we need to get away from the noise of the battle. Okay, now the battle noises today are different than what they were at the time that this was written. Okay, because now you've got the artillery and rocket launchers and, you know, grenades and gunfire and helicopters and the screams of men and the shouting of orders and the sound of death. And back then you would just have the clanging of swords and, you know, bow and arrow, you know, that doesn't make a whole lot of noise, and spears and horses and chariots, but you'd still have the screams of men and the shouting of orders and the sound of death. Not a time to try and be still. Not a time to hear victory shouts. Only a time to try and stay alive. A time to help those around you that are wounded. A time to want it to end. And a hope that it's going to end in victory. Well, God was with Israel in the battle that Psalm 46 is telling us about. And so victory was guaranteed. Okay, but while the battle was going on, there was still death and injury going on. And so those that were fighting the battle are thinking, you know, well, God said He's going to give us the victory, but, you know, my good buddy's dead over here. And, you know, I just got hit with an arrow. And so, you know, kind of wondering what's going on. The Message puts verse 10 like this: step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Now, the New Living Translation had the title of Psalm 46 like this: for the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah, to be sung by soprano voices. Why? Because the original says a song upon Al-Amoth. Well, what's that about? Al-Amoth, what does that mean? Well, that means maidens. So, the song was not to be sung by the victorious soldiers. It was to be sung by the maidens as they returned with the victory. And like I said earlier, we have trouble hearing God because of the noise around us. For me, when I was working on this message the other night, Diane was a couple rooms away watching TV, and where I was sitting at the table, the washing machine and the dryer were going. And, you know, I had to just kind of get that out of my mind and concentrate on what I was doing, because I needed to hear from God. I know when I sometimes don't hear God, it's because I'm too busy hearing me. And sometimes I'm just not hearing anything. Now, Diane accuses me of that often. There's a story about a man that was concerned about his wife that, you know, she wasn't hearing very well. And so he thinks, I'm going to test her hearing. Okay, so she's in the kitchen fixing dinner, and he's off in the living room, and he says, what's for dinner? And she didn't answer him. And so he gets up, and he walks about 5-6 steps, and he says, well, what's for dinner? And she didn't answer him. And so he walks another 5-6 steps, and he says, what's for dinner? You know, a little bit louder. And she didn't answer him, and he's thinking, wow, this is worse than what I thought it was. And so he gets up, so he's just like a step or two away from her, and he says, what's for dinner? And she says, for the fourth time, chicken and biscuits. Okay, so it's not the wife that's got the hearing problem, it's the husband. And I've been told that myself. Well, sometimes we don't hear God because we're not able to. Okay, sometimes there's just certain things that we don't hear. Okay, when I went for a hearing test at the veterans, the woman that was doing the testing, she said that women's voices are sometimes harder to hear because they're at a higher pitch than men's voices are. Okay, I remember my Aunt Fritz telling me, she said, I wish they didn't have women doing the news. Because she said, you know, when the men are on, you know, I can hear everything fine. But then some woman comes on and starts to talk, and I can't make out much of anything of what she's saying. I don't think God is like, I'm going to tell you something, but I'm going to say it in a way that it's going to be really hard for you to hear me. Okay, I mean, that doesn't make sense. Because if God wants to speak to me, I would think he's going to speak in this loud, booming voice. But sometimes he doesn't. Listen to 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13 from the NIV. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled up his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah knew when he heard God's voice. It didn't take a powerful wind. It didn't take an earthquake. It didn't take a fire for God to speak. And God speaks to us directly. Maybe not verbally. I know some people have said that, you know, they've heard God verbally speak to them. And he hasn't me, but I don't doubt them. But if the message is for us, he gives it to us. Now, he may give you a message and confirm it through other people, but the message is yours. Now, that confirmation can come from maybe your pastor, maybe a fellow believer, or maybe even a non-believer, okay? I mean, God can use anyone that he chooses to speak to us. And God can speak to us through the Bible. So many times when Diane and I are doing devotions, I can hear, not audibly, but I can hear God saying, "Listen up, okay? This is something you need to pay attention to, because it's a verse or a passage that I've been searching for, or it's the next message that I'm supposed to bring in a podcast or sometime down the road." You know, it's been there all the time, but God hadn't given it to me yet. And he speaks to us in a song. Okay, I love music. I love to use songs in my messages, either singing them or the words from a song. The fact that the book of Psalms has the most number of chapters in it is no coincidence, okay, because many of today's praise and worship songs come from here. And so it's no wonder that we can hear God speaking to us in them, but you have to listen. And the old hymns of the church speak to us as well. Okay, many times I've gone to another believer, you know, I'm preparing a message and, you know, the song will come to me and I can't think of the name of it. And so I'll go to somebody and I'll say, you know, "Do you know what this song is?" And I can maybe hum a few bars, or maybe I know some of the words that I think are in it, and, you know, go over it and say, you know, "Do you know what the name of that song is?" Or the first line anyways. If it's a hymn, I can find it by the first line maybe. And, you know, that person will say, "Well, I think it's this." And I'll say, "Ah, duh, yeah." And God says, "Yeah, that's right. Now use it." Okay. I don't think God intentionally tries to make it difficult for us to hear his voice. I do think he often speaks quietly to get us to listen more closely. Just like if you and a friend, you know, say you meet a friend for lunch and you're in a restaurant someplace and you're talking and they have something really important to tell you. And maybe something that they don't want everybody else in the place to hear. They're going to lower their voice. And so you've got to kind of lean in and you got to listen closely, because if you don't, you're going to miss what it is that they've been trying to tell you. And I think that's the same with God. If he has a message that's just for us, you know, we're not going to see it on a billboard someplace. Even though if he was going to speak to me through his word, you know, it would still come out just for me. Okay, but he would be pointing it out just for me. You know, I just allow too many distractions in my life. And when that happens, I don't hear the most important voice there is. And when God speaks to me, I need to listen. And the more that I listen to him, I become familiar with the ways that he speaks to me. And so I know that it's God. Because Satan is so good at causing interference, okay? Satan is good at trying to distract us. Okay, unless you're my age or older, you remember the old TVs, and everything had to be just right. Okay, you had to adjust the contrast, you had to adjust, you know, all these knobs, and, you know, the rabbit ears had to be just right, and if everything wasn't just right, you didn't watch what you wanted to watch, or you put up with a poor picture of what you wanted to watch. Well, still today, in trying to tune in a radio that's not a digital radio, you know, you got to have the antenna just right. And you got to have the knob just right. You know, we bought a new radio CD player not too long ago. And, you know, it's just hard to get that thing adjusted just right. And sometimes you think you've got it, and then a song comes on, you say, I know that's not the station I want to listen to, because you're trying to listen to a Christian station and it's something that's in Spanish. Or it's, you know, definitely a country song, or, you know, it's, you know, it's not the station that you want. So we need to turn down, or better yet, turn off the things that are blocking out God. Whatever it is that's making it hard or impossible for you to hear from God, it's got to go. Or at least it's got to be limited, because if it's not, you're really not going to hear from God in the ways that you want to. So I know as believers, you know, if you're like me, sometimes, you know, it seems like you're hearing from God just on a regular basis. You know, you're hearing, you know, songs that are affirming things that you are wondering about, or, you know, with me and trying to put together messages. You know, I'll hear something on the radio and say, oh, yeah. And then I read a scripture. Yeah, that goes with what I just heard. And then somebody else talks to me about something. And it's, yeah, that's part of that, too. And then other times, man, it's like you are in the desert, okay, that God has just kind of forgotten about you, it seems like. Even though you know that he hasn't, it can seem that way sometimes. So let me pray for us as believers. Father, I just give you thanks that you love us so much, that you want to hear from us, that you want to speak to us as well. And Lord, help us to attune our ears to your voice. And if we do that, and the more we hear from you, the more familiar it becomes and the easier it is to hear from you. And Lord, help us to find the ways that you speak to us. Because the way you speak to me today may be completely different than the way you speak to me tomorrow. And the way you speak to me today, you might not speak to me in that way for days or weeks or months before you speak that way again. So, Father, help us to always be ready to listen. And, Lord, as we read your word or doing a devotional or studying the Bible, Lord, help us to really look at your word and see what it is that you're trying to tell us. Because you don't guide us to a verse or a passage for no reason at all, that there's something there that you want us to get out of it. So, Father, help us to be ready to listen when you speak and to really hear what it is that you're trying to say. And then, Lord, I lift up to those that may be listening that don't know you, that just stumbled onto this for whatever reason. That they have no idea why they're listening to this, but Lord, you do. And that reason may be that it's time for them to make a decision to become a follower of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just lift any of those people up that they need to know that Jesus died for their sins. Jesus didn't just die for the sins of what they think of as good people. That Jesus died for the sins of anyone and everyone. And that they have done nothing too bad, that they have not gone against you in ways that you won't accept them. And so, Father, let them know that you're ready and that you want them to be ready too, to come to you and to make a decision for your Son. So, Father, let them know that their sins are forgiven because of Jesus' death on the cross, that he took our sins there. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross to die for our sins so we can live with him. We need to accept that fact. We need to accept the fact that we've all been sinners. And, you know, we can look at somebody and say, well, that person's a bigger sinner than me. But, Lord, in your eyes, sin is sin. And so we all need that forgiveness. And we need to know that Jesus rose from the dead. The 3 days later, that when they went to the tomb, he was gone. And that he spoke to his disciples and others after he had risen from the dead. And he let them know that he's coming back. And he said, I don't know when. You just need to be ready. So, Lord, if there's someone that's listening to this that's not ready, Lord, help them to know how to be ready. And so, Lord, I just put this all in your hands. And, Father, I just ask that you would draw each one to you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Amen.